Tonight we come to the close of the second large section of our study. We've been looking in this section at Jesus in his exalted state after his death on the cross and examining the material in the New Testament of how they came to see him, the risen Christ. And tonight I want to look with you as at the theology which appears in the New Testament material, which looked on the exalted Jesus as the wisdom of God. Very early on, many lectures ago, we looked at Jesus in his public ministry and saw how he was a wise teacher. Some of the material from that lecture will be relevant tonight. But let us now concentrate on the exalted Jesus as the wisdom of God. In his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 24, Paul, speaking of the Jesus he knew, that is, the Christ, said of him, "He is a Christ who is the power and the wisdom of God." Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus, the risen Christ, as Lord, which means power, the source of authority, the source of the Spirit. And we saw that that was an understanding they came to because of the power of the Spirit of Christ in the early community, which they experienced. So tonight we come to the second phrase, "He is the wisdom of God." Well, what do they mean by that? The wisdom of God is an aspect of God. It is God himself as reflected, as revealed in history, in the Torah, the law, or in nature. You see, wisdom, get right back to fundamentals. Wisdom is when you know what you are and you act accordingly. Wisdom is when you function according to your design. A wise person, for example, if you are a runner and you have certain muscles in your body and you know them well and how they should respond to certain movements, then the wise runner or the wise swimmer or the wise person training people in some sport will know the function of that muscle or whatever it is and ensure that you are acting correctly, won't you? That would be a wise thing to do. A wise person is someone who knows how a machine is designed to function and ensures that it functions according to the way it's designed and doesn't act in another way. Well, wisdom, the wisdom of God, is that God is the one who ultimately knows what everything is and who is the only one, ultimately, who knows how everything should function. And in fact, when things are as they are and function as they should function, what are they doing but reflecting the very God who made them, showing forth the mystery of God in their behavior, the image of God. Wisdom, then, is in us, as we experience it, is a gift from God. That's how the biblical literature saw this gift. And it's the gift precisely that enables a person to reflect in his or her actions and life the wise design of God. How do I live? Well, if I knew who I was, I'd know how to live. But who am I? What are my gifts? What is the design, that unique design that I am or you are? What is it that God had in mind when he breathed you forth or sung you into existence and still does? What is the wisdom of God, purpose and design in creating this human being that you are? If you knew that, if you could receive from God the gift of wisdom, then you would know how to function, how to decide what to do. Is that okay? You're following? That's the gift of wisdom, most profound gift. Defined then simply as the virtue of perceiving and adopting the best means of achieving our goal. And our goal is communion with God. All right. If you accept that as what wisdom is, then when Paul and the early church speak of the exalted Jesus as the wisdom of God, primarily what they're saying is that he is the perfect reflection of God. He is the one who most perfectly expresses what in God's wisdom creation is meant to be. He's the peak of creation, the most perfect reflection of God's own wisdom. He's the perfect realization as man of the image of God. To develop that point just a little bit more, you'll recall from the book of Genesis that insight, that revelation that came to whomever it was that first saw it under the inspiration of God, who recognized in humanity, and that's a beautiful thing to do, but quite an extraordinary thing to do, recognized in humanity the very image and likeness of God. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we have God saying, "Let us, having created all the rest of creation, let us make mankind in our own image," icon, a word we use in Greek, the icon, the image and likeness. However, as we also read in the book of Genesis and experience in our own life, while that's the ideal, the fact is that mankind sinned in that Garden of Eden and since, and so forfeited the image, shattered the image, broke the connection, as it were. Not entirely, but there's a break in it. And as Paul in the Romans chapter 1, verse 23 says, reflecting back on humankind's sinful disjunction of behavior, says, he exchanged the glory of the immortal God for a worthless imitation, the image of mortal man. We lost our vision, lost touch, stopped reflecting the mystery of God, and were fascinated by creatures apart from God and reflected the broken light of a sinful world. And so, to come back again, in that view, what the early Christians came to see in Jesus on the cross, but now in his exalted state, finally achieving the goal of his own life and of God's design for him, what they saw was that, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, he is Christ, who is the image of God, the perfect image of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, Paul talks about us able now to contemplate God's glory, to see who God really is, to see the perfect reflection, the wisdom, the design of God's own being reflected in the glory on the face of Christ. Well, that's my first point. That's the simple statement, as simply as I can put. Now I want to take you back to some Old Testament literature, which we'll see reflected in the New Testament. Firstly, from the Book of Wisdom itself. The Book of Wisdom was written probably in Alexandria and probably only about 50 or 60 BC. It's the most recent book of the Old Testament. It was written in Greek, so in the diaspora, not in Palestine, and was hot off the press at the time the New Testament was being written, and a lot of the New Testament is very obviously familiar with this book. And this text from Wisdom chapter 7, 24 reads like this. Wisdom, pervades and permeates all things. She is a breath of the power of God, pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty, reflection of the eternal light, untarnished mirror of God's active power, image of His goodness. She, that is wisdom, she makes all things new. In each generation she passes into holy souls. She makes them friends of God and prophets. Compared with light, she takes first place. For light must yield to night, but over wisdom, evil can never triumph. She deploys her strength from one end of the earth to the other, ordering all things for good.